I want to play a song by Trev Fury, our guest, but before we get into that, I want to tell you who she is, because there may be, you know, a few people who aren't familiar with her. I think she's one of the major contributors to our, you know, women's music culture, and she goes back quite a while. Her first album was in 1973. And the way I figure it out, she's had about 6 solo releases and 3 releases with Chris Williamson. And she's produced, engineered, played, and sang on at least 20 other releases. So I want to play, to start off, a song from her latest CD, Anytime, Anywhere, a very political song called The Eyes of God.
Was somewhere in the news. They said it was pneumonia, but I think it was the blues. 'Cause his wife of over 15 years had left him without warning. I think he couldn't face the nights, and even less the morning. There were red flags everywhere, like how she always pulled away when he tried to touch her hair, and how she always cut him off if he ever tried to speak. Well, everyone that Curtis knew and had known for several weeks. But love dies hard for those who live in some forgotten story. But for Curtis, it was more than faith. It was the end of glory. His weight was falling thin. He couldn't seem to concentrate, and you'd never see him grin. And why was all you'd ever hear if you ever got him speaking? I think he couldn't face the days, and even less the weekend. But love dies hard for those who lived in some forgotten story. And for Curtis, it was more than me. It was the end of glory. And I thank God that we don't all succumb to heartbreaks to this death. 'Cause when I heard that Curtis fell, I wept. There were signs on every street, like how she always turned away and their eyes would never meet, and how she cut him to the quick if he ever criticized. But somewhere deep down, Curtis knew that she could see it in his eyes. Little love dies hard for those who live in some forgotten story. But for Curtis, it was more than me. It was the end of glory. Well, Curtis,
This is J.D., and in a moment of complete disclosure, I requested the wrong song from the engineer. I wanted to play The Eyes of God, and we got End of Glory. You know, E.G., E.G., kind of similar, you know, but nice song, just the same. Trent, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well.
That's not Eyes of God.
I knew it after the first minute or so.
Yeah, right.
Your latest album, Anytime, Anywhere, I meant to play Eyes of God, one of your more political songs. How's it been received?
Oh, very well. It gets a lot of airplay. You know, I actually tried to get it on Air America as much as I could, and I haven't had much success yet, because I think the song really speaks particularly to this administration and to the president who seems to think he is, you know, does have the hand of God on his side. So it's a very powerful song, and people respond amazingly to it, and it does get a fair amount of play, which is good. Just really good. I don't write a lot of political songs, but the ones I do, they're really important to me.
Well, the one I chose to end our segment a few minutes from now is Hawk and the Dove.
Yes.
Another very political song. That one's
that's the one I wrote right after 9/11. In fact, I wrote it on 9/12/01.
That's from your prior album, My Shoes.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But tell me just a comment or two about your latest album.
Well, I think it's my best work to date. I think, you know, it's...
Yeah, I've never had an artist say, this album isn't as good as my last album.
This is just terrible. Yeah, I mean, every artist hopes that they're continually growing and maturing, and I do believe that I am. I mean, people ask me what's my best work, and I am torn between Anytime, Anywhere, and My Shoes, because I think they stand equally. But there is a bit of maturity, a little more maturity, I think, to Anytime, Anywhere. And, you know, as a growing artist, that's what you hope for. And there's a great variety to this CD, I think, more than the last three CDs I've done solo, Back Home, My Shoes, and Anytime, Anywhere. I think the most variety is established on Anytime, Anywhere.
Well, I think the lyrics are, I guess, wiser?
I hope so. I think so, yes.
From a little more, seasoned perspective?
Well, it's seasoned, you know. I mean, the title song itself is about being over 50 and not being dead. So, you know, still having it. So, there, you know, I do speak more on the issues of aging and aging well, like a good wine.
That's great. How much touring do you do?
For the last God knows how many years, I've been doing about 100 shows a year, and this year I cut back to about 50, because I really, it's really hard being out on the road as much as I have been, and I'm now traveling solo. My partner was traveling with me for the last 5 years, and she's back working. She's a hospital administrator, and I have the opportunity to not work as much if I don't want to, and I've chosen to cut back so that I can write more, so I can actually be home, and so I can stay healthy, and because the road is it's weary.
And you're based out of where?
I'm based out of Madison, Wisconsin.
So kind of like if you tour, you have to go ways to tour.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's actually easier than when I was on the West Coast. I was on the West Coast for 30 years. And when you tour, you have to fly a long way, at least from the Midwest. I can do a lot of my touring by car. And when I fly to the East Coast, it's a short flight. It's only when I go west that it's longer. But I'm trying to work it so that I'm only doing two weekends a month. Three, you know, six shows a month. And if I can do that, I mean, I'd still be doing over 70 shows, but it wouldn't be every month, but that's my goal, because I love my work, but I also love being home. I have a very wonderful home life, and I'm looking to enjoy it.
I know the older I get, the more I want to stay home.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is, you know, I think it's the nature of the business, too. I mean, people want to stay home more, and that's why live art is in jeopardy as well, because not just, you know, people who work on the road want to stay home, but people who just live in their own towns. When they get home from a long day at work, they want to stay home. And that's tough for touring musicians as well.
What song of yours gets the most audience reaction?
Probably Anytime, Anywhere, at least in the women's community.
Uh-huh.
You know, and for my over 50 crowd, that song gets a rousing response. But also, I'd have to say My Shoes has been a very powerful song for not just women, for men and women, because it's a song that speaks about being judged. I left a 19-year relationship, and the song basically says no one has a right to judge your life, mm-hmm, until you've walked a mile in your shoes. And this song has been used in divorce therapy. It's been used in many different scenarios, and it really has been a source of power.
In answer to the people who, you know, knew about your very public relationship with Chris and say, and just wonder.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it was something I felt like I had to say, and it's been healing, mm-hmm, for me and certain parts of my audience, but it's also very healing for people who have been where I've been, and God, almost everybody has.
Yeah,
you know,
it says it very well.
Many people have had to leave at some point a relationship.
I love
it. And you know, there's not a lot of songs written from that perspective of the person who leaves, and I think it's been an important song in my career.
Well, the wedding song I like a lot, too.
Oh, that's the other one, yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many people ask me to sing that. I've become the wedding singer. People are trying to get me to come and sing in all their weddings and ceremonies, and that song gets used a lot in commitment ceremonies, and I have been asked to come and sing that more times than I can say. But I think that's a good song. Very.
Deborah Bell, and speaking of weddings, we had a women's festival this weekend on Saturday, and two of the people there, Leslie and Sherry, said that they were in line in front of you on the day you got married to Jane.
Great. I remember those women. Yeah.
Yes. I'm thinking small world.
Yeah, absolutely. All the way to Portland, Oregon. Yeah.
So yeah. You're coming to Houston on November 4th.
Correct.
And where else are you going to be going on this trip?
That weekend, I start in Fort Worth. I'm playing for the Open Door Productions, women I've worked with for a long time. At the UU Church in Fort Worth, and then I come to Houston, and then on Sunday I'm playing a house concert in Richardson that I've played before.
Diane Lichty's the host of that.
Pardon me?
I know Diane, who's the host of the
Diane.
She was at the festival this weekend.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
It seems like that there's a little bit of a resurgence of what is known as women's music. Do you feel that's true?
Well, I think in a sense that there are a lot more women out there doing music, and I think a lot of the much younger women are saluting the work that the older women have done, and in the sense there are younger artists out there now who are doing very political work that they consider women-based, and I find that heartening because I think I think it was about to go under the term itself, women's music, but, you know, I think a lot of these younger artists that I admire, like Ember Swift and Alex Olsen and Pamela Means, you know, they really salute the women who have come before. And it's encouraging. It's heartening. But I also think that because of the way that music is, I mean, women that have now been, are so much part of the mainstream, it's almost like there's not as much need for the niche of women's music. And And in that sense, it is in jeopardy, but and that's also regional. I mean, there's areas, I mean, the Houston Women's Music Festival is a hot item, and that's great.
Well, Deidre McCullough was there. We're going to have Ann Reed the weekend after you're here, so a lot of the pioneers, such as yourself, are still out there on the road and still making the music, writing the music, and collaborating with other artists. So I'm loving it. And I think it's great for some of the younger women to be exposed to this, to realize.
I totally agree with you on that.
And then, of course, JD does such an incredible job with his website, Queer Music Heritage, and the music he presents on this show and Queer Voices, and through This Way Out, that is archiving our history with the music and at the times, the things that were going on during the time that that music was created in our community. So
I find that the interviews capture the music, but they also capture a history of the culture.
Exactly. You said it so much better than I did.
Is that what you were going to say?
That's what I was trying to say.
Trent promised me an interview when she's in town, so I'm going to have another feature for QMH coming up on that.
Absolutely. I'm excited about
more
that.
In-depth.
More in-depth.
Let me give some of the specifics about the concert here in Houston. It's Diva House Concerts, which I'm one of the producers. It's November 4th at Super Happy Funland, and that's at 2610 Ashland Street at 27th Street in the Heights, and you can order tickets by sending me an email at thedivadev@yahoo.com. That's THED as in Diva, IVA, D as in Deb, EB@yahoo.com. And you can also make checks out payable to Loaf, speaking to those older women, Arden Eversmeyer, who is one of the real incredible older women, is very happy that you're coming to Houston and is telling everybody.
Great.
So
what does Loaf stand for?
That's the Lesbians Over Age 50.
Oh, and, good.
The tickets can also be picked up on November 4th at the Lesbian Health Initiative Health Fair at Montrose Clinic, or on Sunday mornings at the Women's Group at the First Unitarian Church. And just let me tell you, if you want to know more about Trett, you can go to her website at www.trettfury, and that's spelled TRETFURE.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also go to the www.superhappyfunland.com to find out directions and all of that. And that is Diva House Concerts presenting Trett Fury on November the 4th. And we're really looking forward to it. I'm going to let J.D. Ask more questions because he's so good at it.
I've got a wrap-up question, I guess. One of my older favorites of yours is Tomboy Girl.
Uh-huh.
And you've made kind of your own cottage industry out of that. Tell us about that.
I have it. It started as a song. It became a T-shirt, then a hat, and now it's an entire line of clothing. I have a retail store in Madison. I have a website, and I always bring lots of clothing to my shows. And it's just something that has really caught on for all of us who've grown up as tomboys and own that word.
I love them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have the I Love My Tomboy Girls shirt, too.
Oh, okay.
But it's interesting because, you know, in my store in Madison, most of my customers are middle school girls, and they love the term because to them it's empowering. So, you know, I have a whole cross-section. I have really girly stuff for the young girls, and then I have T-shirts and sweatshirts and hats for my live audience, and a whole array of stuff on my website for anyone who loves the label. So, you know, it was really my partner's brainstorm, but between the two of us, we've managed to maintain a really strong business through that song, Tomboy Girl.
Well, we're looking forward to your visit. I know I certainly am. What's that date again, Deborah?
November the 4th.
You can contact
just before the scary elections.
Right.
And right after scary Halloween.
We're going to go out with a song from My Shoes called Hawk and the Dove, the other political song I talked about. And we thank you for joining us on Queer Voices, Trett.
Thank you so much, J.D. I appreciate it. And Deborah, thank you.
This is Queer Voices.